welcome to this week's edition of Situational Awareness. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm joined, as always, by the Chaos Crew and our fabulous DM. Let's go around the horn.
I'm Howard playing Toluga.
Rich playing Theo.
Ryan playing everyone else.
And for the final time...
Thanks, everyone. This has been Eric playing Cosmo.
Hand for fucking Cosmo. Eric, you could not have been a more fun first guest on this podcast.
That was now he's fucking awesome.
Now he's off to spread the good word.
Spread
the word of Glee Glee.
Just all the messed up shit we did. Yeah. You looked
at the whole set.
Legends grow.
Legends grow. That's right. And they are often spread through song.
Yeah, indeed they are.
You could not have had a better first ally than a bard. Because that's especially with what you guys are trying to do.
Like, what are you guys going to do without me?
we need a good PR team, for sure.
We're doing great. What do you mean, good PR? We're doing great. No one said anything bad, and if they did, they're already dead.
They already puddle
spoken
on the
like
ground.
A true PR person.
What a fucking...
Man, oh man.
That whole arc was just so fucking fun.
That was a blast.
We needed a really crazy good time after how rough the title goal ended, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this really hit the spot.
Yeah, I enjoyed ending an arc where our fucking hometown doesn't get destroyed. And it's
we didn't lose the house.
You saved a team. You saved a team member whose home was under threat of being destroyed, essentially.
Yeah. That was kind of my idea, too. I wanted them to kind of mirror each other. It was
this is on an up note.
Yeah, right? It was both situations, you had kind of gone against this really destructive force of Krizik, but this time you guys came out on top. You know,
totally. You flip Star Wars dust.
Yeah.
Oh, that means the Highlands arc is going to end poorly.
Uh-oh.
Arc one was fucking Jedi Empire.
Yeah.
Everything's dour and bad.
Well, up into it, it was a raucous good time.
You kind of
just like Empire.
You kind of ended the thing where it's everybody's and then everybody laughs
It had a big sitcom ending.
Do an Animal House ending after this. Cosmo Kilroy went on to fucking
it freeze chart. Frames. I'm exposition after that.
The jihad owner took millions of lives.
Well, to be fair, we already said every person for Krizik that we've met has just tried to kill us.
Yeah, they're kind of it full on Krizik.
They suck.
So, you know.
And it's not we killed other religions.
Yeah.
Just Krizik.
It was only until
other religions.
It was only in the last couple episodes was it established that Krizik showed up months before.
I don't like that.
You know, the Chaos Crew did. And so it's not so that they're behind. They're behind on their sort of responsibility of combating Krizik.
Well, I mean, we just found out about it.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
we're on top of it.
Their influence is deep-seated, far and wide. Yeah.
I mean, they were already the, predominant religion in Aeona. And now, because they have such a network already established, it's going to be really hard to uproot that. That's what I kind of wanted to set up there. What do you got, Mark?
I'd like to lobby for every... You know what? I'll say every arc.
Okay.
Not to overstep.
Uh-huh.
In addition to our followers we're gaining. I would like to get... No, I want to get a Cosmo follower count.
Oh, we can do that.
Just have Eric spreading the somewhere word. Wherever he is rolling D100.
Right.
Yeah. We could definitely do that. That's really funny.
Yeah. Just offshoot new followers.
Depending... you know what? It should be based on a performance check and then a follower count. Because if I perform well, then the higher... Then
maybe, the number of D100s he rolls.
Yeah. Something like that. That would be funny.
Yeah, if he gets a 23, he rolls 23 D100s.
Yeah. 2,300 followers based on my tour.
I'm so happy.
On one stop.
100 on the 100.
I can't believe you rolled 100 on a D100.
So awesome.
I know. That's amazing. That's incredible.
I failed the shit your pants roll, but...
The followers.
Yeah, nailed the followers.
We will definitely be seeing Cosmo again. So the place that you are going...
Yeah,
the Ebon Wall. The way that I kind of figured the world building for this was the Maelstrom is above the Iron Scar on the surface. And the dark dwarves on that side of the world have built a wall below the ground so that the machines couldn't dig under it. Mm. So there is another dark dwarf city on the other side of the continent where you'll be heading with Schlebnor.
So it's like West Germany, like, like Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall. Yeah.
We're going to unite everyone.
Well, I was like, or I'm like, in my head, I was like, okay, if there's a storm that is keeping all the machines on the surface destroyed, I'm like, there had to have been precautions taken underneath as well. Yeah. So
yeah,
it also just gave me an excuse to be like, oh, cool, I can make another Firebelly city on the other part of the side of the world. So
yeah,
that'll work. So yeah, that's where you're off to with Schlebnor. I love the idea of you guys in a hollowed out bus.
What the fuck is a bus? That kind of joke always gets me, is like the same with like the gun, like no one's ever seen a gun in this world before. Yeah. So like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, like I sometimes forget the NPC should be like, whoa.
yeah like the whole fight of just Theo shooting everyone. Yeah, should be like, what the
fuck? Cone of silence helped with that, because there was no like crazy loud bangs and stuff. Yeah, it's just right. Like suddenly people were getting holes in them.
Yeah, I wanted the king to point that out, be like, you pointed at people and then they had holes in them, so like, what the hell's that? Yeah, I think it was smart you guys didn't reveal Reggie being a Dreadforge. I just think that
people aren't ready
at this point in the story. I don't know if people will be ready for that kind of a thing, but we can get there as we get there, you know.
God, I love Reggie's voice.
It's so good.
It is
the only reason we keep him around.
And I don't think I knew that, like, until you pointed it out. Yeah, it's 100%. Man, oh man, I love. Like, yeah, it's like, I you've always reassured me, but every time I like am doing a voice you're doing, I'm like, oh, did I steal that from you? But like, it's just like a joke I have to get out.
Yeah, it's something funny about an accent. It's like when you hear someone do it, you just want to do it right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh man, totally.
Me and my girlfriend watch a lot of 90 Day Fiance, and every kind of weird person on that show, I just immediately copy their voice.
Oh,
and
just, it's like my favorite thing to do.
It's just so funny. So yeah, I totally understand. I mean, me and you do it all the time, Haru. Like, we're one of I'll just steal your accent and then have to like shake it off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, I think early on in this arc, there was even like a call out of like, I'm doing this voice about this too much. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, it is tough. Like,
yeah.
It has been pointed out to me too, because I think the last episode that got released was 12.
Yes.
Where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And someone listened to it was like, I can't believe how many different voices you did in that one episode. And I was like, yeah, I have like 10 NPCs at any given time.
Who is the voice that you do? The
Gammy Green.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've said this on the talkbacks yet, but like, I was like, oh, who put that warble effect on the edit in that? And Ryan was like, no, that's just me. What I was so blown away by that. That was fucking incredible.
That's so dry. It's so dry.
And like, I could have swore that was an effect.
Yeah, no, that's just
amazing.
The driest voice I can make. I am a little, there is a part of me that's like, okay, we're two arcs in and I've used my entire roster of accents. Yeah, so.
Oh, I mean, that's exactly fun. Like for me now. Well, we're going to
the Highlands, so you can bust out some Scots.
Oh, Scots. Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Welcome to Brandini. You got to change your face.
Change your fate. You can't change your faith.
Watch you.
There'll be some Scottish dwarves in the Bernini Highlands, definitely.
Right on.
A little preview. They got a bunch of like cheese heads over.
Oh man, you know what you should do? Well, no, this is reaching, but record, you know, in the improv, in the session, whatever, like, because I love doing a Scottish accent. Yep. Like, record, like, if you need some diversity, like, yeah. I send me back the lines and I will record them as a Scot. Put them in, overlay that shit.
I know.
Again, that might be like too much work to do, but
we have a lot of audio editing going on. Yeah, there's
a lot of ambition right now.
It is funny too, because I'm like going through like acceptable accents for me to do also, because there is going to be a point where I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool if all the elves sounded Japanese?
East are we going?
But then I'm very Irish German, so I'm going to swerve away from that. Yeah, I think we'll keep it within my sphere that I'm comfortable with.
When this podcast is generating income, we will bring in a Japanese American.
Thank and you, have please. Them put yes. in. But yeah, it's just been really fun. I liked how there was a part of me that I liked the idea of East Coast dwarves.
That was my favorite. Like,
so yeah, having just like a bunch of like Philly, Boston, New York kind of scumbag accents was so easy to do for all of the different dwarves.
Also, Crud's Secondhand Sandwiches is their regional dish, apparently, like fucking Scrapple. Yeah. Like a disgusting thing that no one else in the world would ever eat.
Oh, man.
But they love it.
I wasn't even going to be like that, but Cosmo liked it so much. I was like, it's a fucking hometown favorite. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, again, I don't know why I decided on making Cosmo eat whenever he could. And like, no matter what, it's good. Well, like
starving artist.
Starving artist. Yeah, that totally is the justification.
Not for long.
Charting. I'm the like... blessing of the king now, like
you're literally like fucking funded.
I made it baby
Yeah, because I
didn't have to sell out.
I made it on my laurels of a fucking metal god.
I wanted King Ebonshield to just be like, these guys seem like they're really being helpful, I'm gonna try to really help them. It's sometimes when you're DMing, it's like, it's so easy to make your NPCs dicks when they have status.
Totally.
And like, there are times for that. There's times where like you need that. But when I was coming up with the world building, I was like, oh yeah, this is like the kingdom that was like so isolationist that they hid out the whole war. I'm like, if my like great grandfather was like a famous coward, like, and the opportunity came up to do the right thing for once, when this kingdom has had so many times where they let power get the best of them. I wanted to be like, there's at least one good king here.
Totally.
His city may be split up in all these different districts. There may be kind of like weird, you know, things kind of butting up culturally there, but that like, okay, you guys have one, at least one good ally so far.
What are you talking about? It's like all those people shat their pants together. They bonded.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Nothing will bring a community together quite like a group defecation.
Yeah. I mean, like the performance of that again is just like, that's the best show. If I was at a place where they made me shit my pants, that was the best show I've ever seen.
That's my advertising.
So good, you shit your pants. Like,
what more could you want?
Oh man, that was so fun. That was awesome.
Yeah,
I'm so glad we got to.
You were our first guest. You were on my the top of my short list, so I had to get you in as quick as I could.
Right on.
Look, I'm my big plans as a DM. I would love to see some more guest stars on this show. So,
Matt Mercer. No,
hey, Brandon Lee Mulligan. No, but yeah, it'd be great to get
Erica Ishii.
I do really, really like how it changes the energy at the table having another person, because like everyone kind of like has to bounce off each other in a different kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. Keeps us on our toes.
Totally.
Yeah,
and like, keep us in check.
I don't know if we pointed out again on mic, but like Cosmo up to a point had only just been a musician, and then he saw a guy riddled with magic missiles and just Jesus Christ kind of thing like that. Oh man, that dynamic, like that's kind of so what funny. I wanted to bring, because like you guys are like battle hardened in this thick of this mission, and
we have killed a lot.
Yeah, come across a guy who's like, I'm just trying to like, you know, belt out some tunes.
Survive. Yeah. Out some tasty licks.
It is like so easy in D&D to kind of ignore how much violence you are putting into the world. But it was such a fun dynamic to have a new person that, like, also to have someone besides me questioning you guys' insane activities.
Yeah, that was something we talked about.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? It's nice having somebody like, hey, actually, what?
Yeah, well, I've been, you wanna,
like,
huh?
Yeah, what is your this giant
play goo?
Yeah, play goo. I talked about it last episode. I will never get over the confidence of like how you just threw out play goo, and I looked around the table like, he's played goo, right? Like,
and we were just equally as confused.
Yeah, yeah. That's the funniest part, is the equal bewilderment.
Yeah, I forget.
It made sense, though.
I forget what you actually said, but when you like were talking to the king, you said so many Kuotoa words in a row.
Oh yeah, like, I'm the Bapu Go Plop of Tuluga Plupli.
It's like the fucking Keenan and Kel Good Burger. Like, I understand some of these words.
Well, it's like, that is what it would sound like if you were talking to a fish and like a fish. Yeah. It's like those are all just bubble sounds.
Is that intentional?
Totally. Every time,
like, total language.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
propribilis was the most.
It really is just like
a mouse in the mouth.
Yeah.
Propribilis.
Gotta get some marbles in there.
Oh man,
marble mouth.
I love that.
And how many times I said ass in that 30-second window before Glebnor called me dumb.
I'm scolded,
son.
It was so funny seeing Glebnor be like, I am actually socially aware enough to realize that we should probably maybe cut back on the ass talk.
We were getting nowhere fast.
Yeah. I was explaining the situation.
It was just like, it was begetting so many more questions.
It made sense. But yeah, let's cut that off.
Me and Gene will get this nice and concise.
Yeah. I think me and Gene kind of made, I hope, a pretty concise case for what's going on. But,
I'm like so attached to these characters now.
Yeah,
like,
they rule.
So many like weirdos in this campaign. Yeah. That
me
I
and
just
King
love.
Are like,
you're lucky you missed Blood Brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
He tossed me. He yelled my
gave
ass.
You the fastball special, baby.
We got to get him to teach Glebnor that.
I know, right?
Oh, man. I'm going to make an effort to have Cosmo learn Kuotoa.
Yeah.
As a language.
Sing from traditional Kuotoa.
Like, you guys have like changed Cosmo's life.
He's on
every
quite.
Time you try to sing something in Kuotoa, it's just Mongolian throat singing.
Yeah. A little integrate the who.
Yeah, the H-U.
Yeah,
that's yeah, the H-U who.
There's right, two who's, right. Unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I probably my favorite thing about this campaign is how much room it left me to come up with stupid NPCs, which is my favorite kind of DMing, where I'm just... I know my own shortcomings as a DM. I am not incredibly good at describing things, but... I know I can throw curveball funny characters at you guys over and over again. So I usually just lean on that when we're doing it.
Play to your strengths.
Yeah,
right, totally.
And with Theater of the Mind, it's kind of nice because it's like I can describe something kind of vaguely and let people fill in how they're kind of picturing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
Forgot. Did we level up or no?
Not yet. I'm going to keep you guys level 5 for just a little bit.
Okay.
You guys are kind of... 5's a nice level. I as a player, I like playing level 5 a lot. And as a DM, it's a little bit easier because 6 is where... some stuff's gonna, and like Theo,
well,
I'm afraid of Theo. I'm gonna be totally honest. Theo gets an ability score improvement at 6 or another feat. And
oh, it's going in ability score, it's going right into dex. and I'm maxing dex out, so
yeah. So a max dexterity Theo on like a rampage with 2 guns. I'm just gonna give myself a little bit of room before it happens. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe midway through, maybe end of arc 3, maybe we get a little level up situation. End of it.
Yeah, I still need to figure out what I want for an archetype, so take your time.
Yeah, exactly. You guys will have time to kind of
mull it over.
Some of us aren't slinging around 2 guns and a mortar over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. You guys decided to multi-class on the 2nd episode.
I mean, it's going to be a lot easier for me because I'm literally going 1 class the whole way. So
Yeah. But don't worry, you get the way of the pleen now. Yeah. It was really cool. We got to, I don't think we talked about it in the last talkback, but I liked that we got to see the way the pleen's little homebrew in action, where you got to deflect part of the guy in the bolt.
Yeah.
That was cool. It's a very
really
specific combination of things that have to happen for that to work, but you got rid of a good chunk of the damage, so that worked out cool.
As someone who's not, you know, obviously the strictest combat, I mean, I've DM'd before and I've like just I pretty much let everything go in combat, but I mean that was cool. That was a cool homebrew type thing. And that battle episode, that was a whole episode of combat, and that was fucking awesome. That was a lot of fun.
That goat man couldn't handle the Toluga.
He didn't want the smoke.
Rarely can they.
Yeah.
So far everyone has either ran away or melted in front of me.
Turned to soup.
I know. During that fight there was a chance that I could have escaped, but I was like, you know, you guys already have so many nemesis. I was like,
do they need
another? Yeah, like how many rivals and allies can you voice, Ryan?
I don't know.
I was really considering taking that other Dragonborn hostage.
Do we want another hostage, though?
No.
And every arc, we take a hostage.
After the last hostage, we don't get...
Well, you got to bring in guests for the hostages, for the allies, for the guest star.
Yeah, I
thought it was a nice callback to Genry with the lapdog thing
before
I ended the other Azure scale.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's been... I don't know. That was a fun episode, the last one we just did, because it was like very like... It was all working out for once. You know, like usually you guys are just like really flying by the seat of your pants and just like hoping it all worked.
But
it was nice that like you guys worked really hard in this arc to like put all the pieces on the board in the right way. It all came together perfectly. And yeah, it all fucking worked out for once.
Yeah, a lot of good payoffs.
Got a paladin and Bleebly's name.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Another reason I didn't like the idea of Gideon getting away is he was only in like 1 episode. And I don't think he had established him enough as a villain to make him recurring. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Totally.
I guess if it was Felix, it would make a bit more sense.
Exactly.
There's no way I was letting him get away.
You guys wouldn't have let me let Felix get away. So, yeah, I wanted it to be like, okay, so the satyrs usually are kind of like higher up and they're kind of more running the show a little bit.
I hate them so much.
Yeah.
The fact that he pooped out little goat pellets.
So stupid.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because he has no pants.
Of course. Yeah. And he's half goat.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking like the other day too about like all the different fights you guys have had in this arc, and there's been so many that were just so silly. Like I always forget we did that stupid barbershop fight. You guys were like fighting like mullets.
I'll never forget.
Oh man.
Hell toupee.
I almost didn't want Cosmo to perceive on a nat 20 that was them who impaled that.
Yeah. We totally didn't. What are you talking about?
My homies that I've been hanging out with this whole time, they're psychopaths.
Like, I love that I got a 4, so I was just believing both of them.
Oh, man. That, oh my God, the perception of my surroundings just maintained through this whole arc. So just funny. Like, I don't know what it is about Cosmo walking into a place. He doesn't fucking get it.
It's the only time you rolled bad. It's just perception checks.
I roll so high so often.
I mean, I call for perception checks a lot. It's just the game kind of forces you almost to sometimes.
Sure,
as a DM.
Sure, of course.
But it is just so funny.
Perception investigation. I have a 0 on perception investigation and a 1 on perception. And so
it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
While everything else, like charisma, intimidation, and performance is all 10.
Well, yeah, your performance. And like, even with like high rolls, I could not touch you on performance pretty much that whole time.
Yeah. It's not like Damien didn't have high performance.
It's plus 9. Yeah.
That was like what it came down to. And yeah, no, I mean, golly.
We're just better.
Yeah.
Well, this was a fucking awesome time.
Hey, listen, guys, thanks again for having me. This was a fucking blast. I'm glad that
you're always welcome, buddy.
Yeah. We'll see Eric in like arc 8.
Yeah.
you're expected to come back now.
All right. Yeah. No.
I mean,
that was so much fun.
We got to check in on how the Bleebly road tour is going.
Yeah. See how many record deals I get.
Yeah. Ryan's going to roll for Cosmo and be like, you guys hear that Cosmo died in a bus crash.
After getting 500 followers.
Oh, they Cliff Burtoned me. I'm sorry, that's really insensitive.
I promise I will not kill you off screen. I will
I'll kill you on screen
unless you get too many followers for us. Honestly, then he might.
I would accept dying on mic. That's fine.
Cosmo died on the way back to his planet.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing with guests too, is like
you could kill a guest.
Sure.
It's like there's a little bit more wiggle room there because it's like, okay, well, you know, I had a good run. Yeah. And then let's
see how well Cosmo's received. So that's sort of like, you know, and then we extend his duration.
All right. Well, fuck it. Arc 2 in the books, gang. I got to go home and write arc 3.
Yeah. People, listen, if you haven't already, tell everyone you know. Scream it from the rooftops. Be a Cosmo. Get out there. Do a little ditty. Buskers, I'm looking at you. And to all our international fans, I want to say thank you because we have been climbing internationally, oddly enough.
All right.
Canada, I see you.
It's because we're making
England, I see you. Parts of Germany and Italy.
Scotland, get ready.
UK listeners. Let them know. Let them know. We're coming for your ass. We're going to do bad Scottish accents.
You're not going to believe it. They're going to be fucking terrible.
Just like the bayou and how much they're embracing us, probably.
We have no listeners in Louisiana, I'll have you know.
Not yet.
A crime shame.
See that? Do you see? We ask you for nothing. We give you nothing but joy. Please, please, please. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell everybody you know. We're hitting the road. Keep it dicey.
This has been a Business Shark production.